Chapter 24, and we find here this lengthy chapter, but a story that is so wonderful in what it tells us about the faithfulness of God. Follow as I read. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him according concerning this manner. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink and I will water your camels, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the son of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please give me a little water to drink from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let down her jar upon her head and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water. And she drew for all his camels. This is a lengthy reading. Let me pause just there at that point. A camel can drink at least 25 gallons of water. 10 camels would be 250 gallons of water. This was a hefty task, a pretty good task for this young lady to voluntarily say, I'll water all of your camels. Verse 21, the men gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and 2 bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold camels and said, please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night. The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way, to the house of my master's kinsman. Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out toward the man to the spring as soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister. Thus the man spoke to me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. He said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels and gave straw and fodder to the camels. And there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Then food was set before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have spoken about what I have to say." He said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old to him, and to him he has given all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my clan and take a wife for my son.' I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and prosper your way. You shall take a wife for my son from my clan and from my father's house. Then you shall be free from my oath when you have come to my clan. But if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if you are now prospering the way that I go, behold, I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I shall say, "Please give me a little water from your jar to drink," and who will say to me, "Drink," and I will water your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son." Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, the Lord, Rebekah came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew water. I said to her, "Please let me drink." She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels drink also." So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. Then I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the ring on her nose and bracelets on her arms, and then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you are going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken." When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver and of gold, garments, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and they spent the night there. When they arose in the morning, he said, "Send me away to my master." Her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days. After that she may go." But he said to them, "Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." They said, "Let us call the young woman and ask her." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her with her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "O sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him." Then Rebekah and her young women arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had returned from Beer Laharoi and was dwelling in the Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." She took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah his mother and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, as we look again at the account of Genesis, we find in the last chapter that we have Moses' account of a funeral that takes place. And now as we turn to this 24th chapter, a very lengthy chapter, we have an account of a marriage. The marriage is the marriage between Isaac and Rebekah, and it is contracted, of course, through the express instructions that Abraham gave to his servant. The passage opens by telling us that Abraham had become an old man. He's lost the partner of his life, that was the previous chapter. And he's probably anxious at this point in life to make sure all of his affairs are in order so that he can leave the scene of this earthly existence himself. And he is going to follow his wife in death. And having been blessed by the Lord in all things, as Moses tells us, he now wants to see that that blessing is communicated to his son, Isaac. And so Abraham tells his servant that he must find a bride for his son Isaac. And he sends the servant to his homeland to secure that bride. In this story, we see the faithfulness of God in the covenant that God has made with his people, and the faithfulness of Abraham exhibited in the manner in which he seeks to be faithful, even in bringing a wife for his son, a wife from believing people, that he may have a wife to share with him the blessing of the covenant that God had chosen for him. We can only highlight the events that take place in this passage. So beginning with verses 1 through 9, let us just look at the solemn trust there that was given to this servant of Abraham. Many people have guessed that this might have been Eleazar, who is named earlier in Genesis, but we simply don't know. But we find that Abraham chooses a trusted servant for this great task of finding a wife for his son Isaac. The story begins telling us that God had blessed Abraham, and the blessings have been many. Long life, he had come to a ripe old age. Prosperity, that's recorded not only here and earlier passages, but in the story in which the servant recounts the blessing of God to Abraham's family back in the land from which Abraham came. The material prosperity is recorded here in this passage. We can also look back in the book of Genesis and recall for a moment the victory over the eastern kings and the restoration of fertility to Abraham and Isaac, or to Abraham and Sarah, and the birth of Isaac to this couple in their old age, and a birth that was marked by laughter, an unbelieving laughter at first, but the holy laughter of faith later. In fact, Isaac's very name simply means laughter. All of these are blessings that God has given to Abraham. And so as chapter 24 opens, when it says, "And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things," we are meant to understand all of these things and remember that God has been faithful to Abraham and to that promise that he would bless him. And yet, something still is needed. Abraham realizes that there is a need for him to pass these blessings along, and in particular, the blessing of the covenant, which would come now through Isaac. Isaac had been separated out to be the one through whom the seed of Abraham and the covenant would be fulfilled. He was separated out unto God, and Abraham was therefore unwilling for Isaac to be married to the Canaanite women. The Canaanite women among which they lived were marked by the idolatry and the gross idolatry of that region. Abraham lived as a faithful servant of God, but he lived in an unbelieving region where religious life was marked by Canaanite practices that were grossly idolatrous and utterly wicked. And Abraham says a union between a Canaanite wife, a Canaanite woman, and his son is simply out of the question. Now, you might look at that and say, well, wouldn't that have provided Isaac and Abraham, his father, with a powerful connection if he had married into one of the good Canaanite families? They would have had social standing. They would have had blessings that could have been added to them. None of that was interesting to Abraham at all, because what was of interest to Abraham was that God had promised his blessing to him, and he had called him to be separated from the sinfulness of the Canaanite people, and he needed to therefore provide a home in which that spiritual harmony would prevail and through which the blessings of the covenant would come. And so Abraham very clearly instructs his servant to go back to the old country, if you will, where his family was, and from his family secure a wife for his son. Most of the chapter is given over to the story of the servant's journey, which we turn to at verse 10, and the interaction that takes place between him and the family that takes us to nearly the end of the chapter. And what we see in the servant's journey is that here too the faithfulness of God is evident. We see it in the fact that the servant himself says that the Lord had guided him in the way. We see God's faithfulness in this event of the servant going to find a wife for his master's son, and the servant is being guided by the Lord. He's walking in the way of the Lord. Did you notice as we read the passage the many times in which he expresses his particular devotion to the Lord? He gives thanks to God for directing his steps. He prays to God that the God of his master Abraham would be faithful to that covenant promise and provide an answer to this prayer so that that covenant promise could be fulfilled in obtaining a wife for his master's son. Here was a servant in the home and among the family of Abraham, who had found the Lord as well and was praying for that guidance, praying for that direction, praying that God would take each and every step along the way and bless it. Was there ever an expedition, writes one author, more constantly bathed in prayer than this one? Put yourself in the servant's shoes. You have to go and choose a wife for your master's son. Now that's a pretty difficult task. You know, you can bring her back and he can take one look at her and he might not like her. There are some pretty practical things we could think about, but this servant took each step in prayer. I would imagine that as he started his journey, he started with prayer. Every morning along the way, as that caravan got underway, I would imagine that he took time and prayed for God's blessing and God's direction for that day to lead him to the end, to his destination, to secure what he was looking for, the wife for his master's son. And as he prayed, he kept on traveling and kept on planning how he would carry out this appointed task. But every step along the way, it seems to me, was marked by prayer on the part of this man. But notice, not only he didn't just simply sit there and pray and say, "Oh Lord, lead me to this woman." He went and he acted. Prayer is not a substitute for action. We must pray and work. This servant prayed and worked at the very same time, for he knew that prayer is not given to make work unnecessary, but prayer is given so that our work is effective and that God blesses it. And so he prays. We see it in verse 7, where he rests on the promise that he had heard from his master. Abraham says in verse 7 that God had sworn to give him this land. And notice what Abraham says in verse 7. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. Abraham was ever confident that God was in this enterprise. And the servant prayed along those lines that his master had spoken. He prayed for God to reveal to him what the Lord wanted for Abraham. He prayed that God would reveal the right woman for him. He prayed that that woman would be the one who would give evidence of the kind of a woman that would fit the role that she was to play. And he prayed for a woman of the qualities that would be best suited to be a godly wife for Isaac, a woman who would be a servant of God and serve alongside of Isaac as the servants of the Lord. And through prayer, this servant is led to Rebekah. We see the passage unfolding as the camels are watered and his prayer is answered. And as we noted earlier, that's a pretty hefty job. It would have taken hours to take that jar, to fill it, and then to watch the camels slurp up that jar with a few slurps. No? Camels can be thirsty out in the desert. And if a camel can drink 25, give or take a few gallons, you'd have to have a pretty good sized jar and a pretty good well to supply that need. Now multiply one camel by the 10 in this procession, and that was a pretty awesome task. But it was that which the servant put forth in his prayer and said, "Lord, show me the woman that you want. If she is willing and she offers," he didn't ask her to water the camels. He asked for a drink of water. Well, that's pretty easy. Drop the jar, scoop out some water, have a drink of water, slake your thirst, you're all done. But the woman offers. She offers to water the camels. And that was the very condition in his prayer that he had asked the Lord, "Show me the one that you want and let her be the one, Lord, who offers to water the camels." And the Lord answered that prayer. Do you see the confidence that this servant had in the God of his master Abraham? That God was concerned about the very details of his life, the minutest concerns and the details that existed. And God not only was concerned about them, but God provided for them. Let's look quickly at verse 28 and following, where now he is in the household and meeting with the household of Rebekah. Then verse 28 says, "The young woman ran, told her mother's household about these things. Rebekah had a brother, Laban," and so on. Now the family gets into it, and the family is gathered together. He is introduced to the family, and the story is retold. Notice that the family, in their response, we see it at verse 50 and verse 51, "The thing has come from the Lord." There was in this family, although later we will see some rather unspiritual activities in the life of Laban. Moses will reveal that later in Genesis. But here the family says, "This is of the Lord." These were a believing people. They recognized that the Lord was at work in the life of the servant of Abraham. They recognized that God was leading him. They recognized that God was leading him to Rebekah. And notice the willingness of Rebekah to immediately leave her home to go with the stranger sent by God to marry someone she had never seen. I would dare say that would not happen today. Think, yeah, I can see the wheels turning. You're thinking about it. Who would like to offer to go and get a wife for someone's child and, you know, bring them back? Your son would say to you, are you a little bit off? I'd rather choose myself, or something of that nature. But here we see everything is in God's hand. And when it comes to Rebekah, I find it remarkable. It's almost as though Moses just kind of, he's writing the story, and we miss it if we just think it's a story. Every detail is important. As soon as Rebekah heard it, she was immediately willing to go. Excuse me. Rebekah heard what the servant had told her, and a text tells us that she was immediately willing to go. Verse 58, I will go. She too was willing to obey the will of the Lord. She saw that this was the Lord's will. And when confronted with the Lord's will, even though it involved her leaving her home, leaving her family, going to a distant country, and marrying someone who she doesn't know if he's got barnacles on his face or what, marry someone she had never seen, what was her response? Well, let me see. Well, let me have overnight to think about this. I'll give you my answer next week. No! Immediately, discerning the will of God, she says, I will go. She submitted to the Lord in faith. She showed that her faith was in the same promise that God had given to Abraham and the blessing that God had given to him, and in the God of Abraham, whose blessing would come through her. I think that shows each of us that we should be willing to follow the Lord eagerly. The Lord calls us to serve him. Are we eager to follow the Lord? Are we eager to obey? Do we put it off? Do we say, I don't have time, I have other concerns? Are we willing to live that life in Christ that we have been called to by grace, and to obey, to break with the world, and to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind? Rebekah is certainly a great testimony to willing, obedient faith, the very kind of faith that we find in Father Abraham, the kind of faith that was needed for Isaac, the son of promise, so that together they could have a marriage through which God would bring the children that would eventually be the heirs of promise and the forebears of the Messiah. The return home is just quickly covered by Moses, the author. We don't find it's almost as though it were unimportant to the story. He wants to get to the end. The end of the story. And what's the end of the story? There's been a big, great buildup. The whole story has been built up to a wife for Isaac. And what do we find? And we'll look at that just briefly, beginning at verse 59. She is blessed, blessed by her family. O sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s. Have you ever noticed that? Indeed, she was the mother of thousands and tens of thousands, because through her and through her offspring comes the family of faith and those who believe in the Savior of sinners. But the writer Moses is continuing on. He talks about riding the camels, following home, verse 61, and now verse 62. The scene is set for the culmination of the story. The servant had been sent to get a wife. the great effort that was put forth, the prayers that were given, the obedience of faith has been recalled, and now we see Isaac himself was engaged in spiritual exercise. What was Isaac doing in the field? It seems as though Moses is telling us that it was his custom. He had returned, verse 62, and Isaac went out, and what was he doing? Meditating in the field toward evening. Isaac was praying. Praying in a field, not just any field, but in that particular field where God had demonstrated previously his providence and his grace. He went to pray, and he went to a place where he had associations in his mind of the faithfulness of God. And when he went to pray, the answers to his prayer came in the person of Rebekah. It tells us in our text that they meet, and it's very brief. The story of the marriage is simply that they met, and that Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and he was comforted in this after his mother's death. Here was a marriage that was rooted in faith, a marriage of believers in God, in the promise of God, a marriage of those who were dedicated to loving each other, and a marriage that was based on the promise of God to Father Abraham in the faith. The story ends on a high note of these two coming together in marriage, but that's really the goal of the entire passage. The goal that is the fulfillment of what the passage began with in the opening words. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And he blessed Isaac. That was a blessing to Abraham, but now the blessings are going to shift. We'll soon see Abraham in the next chapters is going to pass from the scene. And the life of the blessing of the covenant family will come through Isaac. But what we will continue to see is that God's faithfulness is always there. He is faithful. And he's faithful for you. And he's faithful for me. He's faithful in everything. God is unable to be unfaithful. Unable, because he is God. He is faithful. He will be faithful. And that is what Abraham could count on. And that is why in confidence he could say to his servant, "The angel of the Lord will go before you." He knew the promise and the faithfulness of God. That's why the servant could pray, "Oh God of my father and master Abraham, fulfill your promise." How could he pray that prayer? Because he too knew the faithfulness of God. And in the faithfulness of God, God brings Isaac a godly, believing wife. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we need to walk in that faithfulness, in obedience to God, and rest in God's faithfulness to us in all things. He is faithful to his promise. His promises are without end. Find them in Scripture. You can count on them. None have ever gone unfulfilled. He will be faithful to you. No matter what you face, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, he calls you to rest by faith in Jesus Christ and trust that he will be faithful to you. Let us praise him for his faithfulness. Let us pray.